Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And the question is, could a doctor strike save your life? And so the result of this Toronto situation where four hospitals were closed, as a result, the Greater Toronto area did see a slight dip in mortality rate relative to the prior 2 years, but so did the rest of Ontario. Now, just to be fair, we had a SARS outbreak, which closed four hospitals. And many people probably weren't clear on which hospitals were closed. And in the midst of a SARS outbreak, decided, well, maybe they wouldn't go to hospitals at all. So the fact that the rest of Ontario had the same decrease is not necessarily instructive, because they were under the same fear of SARS hitting any of their hospitals and people were staying home. So the decrease was not statistically significant anyway. I mean, that's like a killer saying, hey, I only killed one person. It didn't really budge the death rate that much. Not statistically significant, so let's just forget it. And so this person, Mr. Adams, who's giving a total defense of the medical industrial complex, says, so despite media suggestions to the contrary, doctors going on strike does not seem to have much effect on the death rate one way or the other. And any reduction seen is probably the result of postponed, canceled, non-emergency surgeries. Okay, so first he says there's no change. All right, we're going to accept that. But then he says, well, wait, if you do see a reduction, it's because of the non-emergency surgery, which, of course, carries a death rate. And any surgery is risky. And some common procedures, like coronary bypass, by the way, not emergency. This is talking about non-emergency type where you wait 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Or aneurysm repair have a death rate you just can't ignore. And so, in other words, what he's saying is surgeries which are deadly, which are known to cause death, were not done. And these are surgeries for conditions that don't immediately threaten a person's life. But leaving the tummy tucks out of it, most elective surgeries boast a pretty serious payoff. Either in quality of life improvement right now or in medical trouble avoided down the line. Again, there's no evidence of this, by the way. And so this is just an assertion. If 600 people die each year as a result of hip replacement surgery, does that mean the 200,000-plus patients that pulled through were fools to undergo the knife? Maybe not. However, those people should be given the option and should be given the information that out of 200,000 people, now he says 600, but we know better, right? Because 2% and 2% is going to be 2,000, so really 4,000 of these people are going to die, not 600, because we've got the 2% from the prior figures above. You're welcome to calculate the odds however you like, and in certain cases, it may well make sense to question the value of surgery. As a general proposition, though, if my health is on the line, I'm glad to hear that the doctor is in. Okay, so he gives absolutely no defense, no credible defense, that doctors are having a positive impact on anyone's health. In other words, what he's saying is Americans are spending $3 trillion a year on a healthcare system that does not save lives. And if the healthcare system does not save lives, then how can we say that it's necessary? I mean, it's about as necessary as a Cartier watch. It may be unnecessary. Someone may choose to get their time from their cell phone. Someone else might choose to get their time from the watch. Another person might choose to look at the sun and see its location in the sky. So there's no compelling evidence here, then, that medical care is beneficial in terms of preventing mortality. So you can't really say a person's undergoing life-saving surgery, because in many cases, of course, the person ends up dead. The other thing that this brings up is, shouldn't doctors just stay on strike, and shouldn't just the barest of emergency services be maintained and forget the rest? because it's not shown to have an impact on health or longevity. But let's take a look at the figures in this study and see if we can't sort through something here. Oh, first, let's go see what the government says about this. You got to check out .gov. I think .gov is a good thing to check out. Okay, so this is 2008, so it's a little more recent than 2008, and this is a study published in Social Sciences Medicine and written by Cunningham, Michael, Narayan, and Youssef. All right, so what do they got to say? A paradoxical pattern has been suggested in the literature on doctor strikes. When health workers go on strike, mortality stays level or decreases. We performed a review of the literature during the past 40 years to assess this paradox. We used PubMed to locate all peer-reviewed English language articles presenting data analysis on mortality associated with doctor strikes. We identified 156 articles, seven of which met our search criteria. Now get this. So they threw out 5% of all the articles, 95% of all the articles. They just threw them out. So we're only going to consider seven articles. All right, we'll concede that. I mean, it's .gov. They must know what they're doing. We're going to accept that. The articles analyzed five strikes around the world, all between 1976 and 2003. The strikes lasted between 9 and 17 weeks. All reported that mortality either stayed the same or decreased during, and in some cases, even after the strike. None found that mortality increased during the weeks of the strikes compared to other time periods. The paradoxical finding that physician strikes are associated with reduced mortality may be explained by several factors. Okay, so they're going to explain this. Most importantly, elective surgeries are curtailed during strikes. And so they're saying, basically, the implication here is elective surgeries are associated with deaths. Deaths in conditions where people that were not life-threatening. So people who were not going to die, had zero chance of death, died as a result of elective surgeries. Okay, so what he's saying is it's explained because, well, death rate did go down. Second explanation, hospitals often reassigned scarce staff and emergency care was available during all of the strikes. Again, what he's saying then is non-emergency care causes excess deaths. And two, none of the strikes may have lasted long enough to assess the effects of long-term reduced access to a physician. Now, we know what long-term reduced access to a physician causes, and basically no problems at all. And a 17-week strike, it seems to me, would be long enough to assess some type of harm, if indeed there was any harm, from a doctor strike. And so he concludes by saying, nonetheless, the literature suggests that reductions in mortality may result from these strikes. Okay, so well written by a publicist, of course, because I guess they couldn't continue to remain silent. Again, no one has given a compelling argument, even the pro-doctors. This is, National Library of Medicine, NIH, National Institutes of Health, .gov, very weak defense, if you want to call it that, of the observation that mortality goes down with strikes. Now, just to give you some perspective here, we've got a raging epidemic in the United States of Zika. And I don't even think we have even 10 Zika deaths that we can document. And so let's just take a look at this. So per day, average death risk due to medical intervention is 81 times the risk of death if the person stayed home. And that we get this number because a person is in a hospital average 4 days. That means an average of 4 days. And in that 4 days, a person has basically a 1% chance of dying because they're in a hospital. So that's 0.25%, not a full percent, a quarter of a percent chance of dying in that 4 day period. So few diseases, even life threatening ones, are this deadly. And then we have, of course, 20% are getting ill as a result of their care. And the average hospital stay, as I said, is 4 days. But wait, the average death rate on the outside, if you're not in the hospital, is 0.008. That's 0.8% per year for 365 days. Yes, that's shocking. So using these numbers and the various ratios, it turns out that a person in the hospital is literally 81 times more likely to die just because they're in the hospital. Because we're only going to look at the death rate from doctor causes. So at least people should return. So what should people do? People should clearly at least return to having doctor visits at their house and not go to hospitals. So the other thing to basically then, when doctors go on strike, does the death rate go down? Well, mathematically, it's got to. And we can calculate this. So a hospital with 500 beds is closed for 30 days. And over this 30-day period, 25 fewer people will die. These people who die from hospital complications, according to this very favorable assessment by the City University of New York, so this is using their numbers of what they say is what can be expected of iatrogenic death in a hospital. So over a 1 year period, at least 300 lives will be saved just by closing one 500-bed hospital. 310 lives. And you don't have to go door to door. You don't have to get urine samples. This is more lives than children that would be saved by registering or confiscating all guns in the United States. In other words, hospitals literally kill more people than guns do. Of course, no hospital would be able to increase bed capacity to compensate for this one hospital that's taken offline, and so another one would not open. But this data is from the medical industrial complex itself. So let's take a look at the other contention, which is the medical industrial complex says, well, the death rate doesn't go down. It doesn't go up when doctors go on strike or become unavailable, but doesn't go down. But wait. Do you think that for $3 trillion a year, there should be some beneficial impact? And if maintaining ultra emergency care only and getting rid of all other medical care does not cause an increase in the death rate, then what justification can there possibly be for a well child visit? What justification can there possibly be for someone who's not sick to go see a doctor? Because we see here that all non-emergency care, if withheld, would not result in increased death in the population. So in other words, is it really acceptable that death rates fail to rise when medical services are not available? Is it okay to say that Americans are paying $3 trillion for something that doesn't make a difference? That Obamacare was an abomination? I mean, would you even spend $50,000 on something that was useless? And if we wouldn't spend $50,000, then why should collectively the country spend $3 trillion? I mean, how would you feel after you spent the money and found out that what you spent $50,000 on was useless? That's the way you should feel now about the medical industrial complex. You've probably spent more than $50,000 in insurance premiums if we add up all premiums spent during your lifetime. So can we really say that deferred elective surgery causes death in the future? This is just false. How many plastic surgeries would result in death if they were deferred? If it affects a person's death rate now or in the future, it's not elective. And so I say, you know, it's not okay that medical care that Americans pay $3 trillion for is useless. I mean, would you be okay with checking out the grocery store with a full cart of food, pay the tab, and then the grocer sells you, no groceries for you today. We're doing no harm. We're using the medical model. And so what's the answer? Am I suggesting that hospitals close today? Absolutely not. I'm not suggesting that. I am suggesting that we pretend they're closed. How do we do that? Well, every person should have only the amount of health care they can afford. This will cause many people to stay home and save lots of lives and build a substantial amount of wealth. So even if you have health insurance, just pretend that you do not have health insurance. Your insurance company will probably deny your claim or put it towards your deductible anyway. So you might as well just pretend that you don't have health insurance. And that's actually the thing to do, is pretend that the doctors are on strike. Don't wait for them to strike. You can handle this. You can take this into your own hands. So we have some time here for questions. It's 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, we have an incredible conversation going on at healingwithdrdaniels.com. And even better, many of you know I started doing webinars. Yes, I'm getting good at these. Not that great, though. Audio is not so great, but the replay is worth listening to. It's at goo.gl/ENRZIE. So it's https://goo.gl/ENRZIE. And this is a webinar replay for how the emergency room gives you dangerous therapies without your consent. Yep. That's it. So we have got questions tonight. Lots of questions. They aren't selling it to the end user. Okay. Many people think it's just certain races that are targeted by the medical industrial complex for being killed. What do you think? I think that people of all races are being targeted by the medical industrial complex for killing. And we can see this because in the past 2 years, the death rate among whites age 45 to 54 has just skyrocketed. So each ethnic, cultural, or racial group is being targeted in the context of, you know, whatever their meme is or their worldview is. But make no mistake, everyone is being targeted. There is no group that is exempt. Okay. Let's see. So someone in the chat room is quoting also Confessions of a Medical Heretic, which is Dr. Mendelsohn. When I was going through my difficulties with the medical board in New York State, someone gave me his book, thinking that I would be inspired, I would be encouraged, I would feel supported. So I started reading Dr. Mendelsohn's book, and I burst into tears because as bad as he said it was actually 10 times worse. And I just couldn't continue reading the book because the picture he painted was way too rosy. So for those of you who are just beginning your path of understanding the details about the medical industrial complex, I would definitely recommend Dr. Mendelsohn's book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Dr. Downs, can you talk about how and when accurate information changed from proving which health claims really worked to nothing can cure anything? And the best we can hope for is remission of a disease and claiming that certain things technically don't work seem to be recommended to everyone now. Okay, so there was never a change. It was always the case. European medicine, and that was medicine practiced by doctors who've gone through formal medical training in the European system, was always ineffective and was always less effective than we'll call it folk medicine. And this was something, though, that was understood and that was acknowledged. And so people felt like seeing them did.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we have some callers on the line here. We have Wes in Idaho. Hi, Wes.
Hello, Dr. Daniels. Looking at a timeline of antibiotics, I guess it was 1942 that penicillin was introduced. I heard that when they introduced penicillin, polio cases jumped up dramatically. Because the penicillin would destroy the internal flora. Do you know anything about that? Would you comment?
I think that most medical interventions have a death rate associated with them, and the purpose of the medical intervention is the actual death rate, not the perceived therapeutic benefit. And so the perceived therapeutic benefit is just a pretense to get people to submit to that. So now recurrent antibiotic use is associated also with deadly cancers. So one should not lose sight of the basic goal here.
The other question was, what about Louis Pasteur and his germ theory versus Antoine Beauchamp? I imagine you know what I'm talking about there.
Right. Again, at many points in the history of medicine, you have these dichotomies. You know, one person says this, another person says that. And generally, the backing, the publicity, and the credibility created by the drug companies who really, back at that point, ran the whole show is what was dominant. And so, for example, for me as a doctor sitting in my office looking at the results I was seeing with what I was taught in medical school, I could see this stuff was not working. But from all the PR and all the propaganda I was getting from the conferences I went to and from, you know, my residency program and from medical school, you know, I would be left with believing that I'm the only doctor in the world that's noticing this stuff isn't working. And the way I handled that was, look, maybe this stuff works for everyone else's patients, but it's not working for my patients, so I'm going to change. And apparently, the people who walk into my office, this stuff is not working for. So doctors are literally snowballed, and you have this public debate going on that the purpose of the public debate is to get the doctors to perceive that the side that won, in this case Louis Pasteur, is backed by science and that they should go along. And so you always have to have these straw man debates. One side represents what's clearly obviously true, and the other one represents what they'd like you to believe, and one that represents what they'd like you to believe, of course, always wins and is backed by and publicized by the organs of the day, by the medical journals and whatever. So that debate was just kind of a staged thing to convince doctors to abandon their belief that it's the person's nutritional status that determines most of what's going to happen, not the infecting organism.
Are you familiar with Eustace Mullen's book, Murder by Injection, that it's available on internet, PDF?
I have not read that, but I believe that there's a lot of murder by injection going on, and I think that a sensible person should refuse any and all injections via a needle, just because not only do you not know what's in the needle, but the doctor doesn't know either.
I heard Eustace Mullen the other day, he's been gone for about 10 years. Anyway, he was asked a question in one of his speeches about vaccinations, and he made the statement that vaccinations were actually designed, engineered to be time bombs for the body to be unable to get rid of them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. There's every evidence that is the case.
You might want to look at his book. I think you might. I know you'll appreciate it. It's about how the AMA got started and the CDC and so forth, how it was a business opportunity, not really set out to improve the health of the people.
Okay, thank you very much.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Angioprim can unclog blocked arteries and improve blood flow in all parts of your body. Angioprim is oral chelation. Easy, simple, liquid oral chelation. You take it with juice before breakfast and forget about it. Angioprim works fast, unlike old-fashioned chelation that takes hours. Just log on to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M, angioprim.com. Angioprim users say they have more energy, more strength, more endurance. Increased circulation and blood flow will make all your body parts work better. Log on to angioprim.com to get more information on how you can get started and start feeling better, having fun, and doing more again. Lots more. Talk to a trained Angioprim consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221. Or log on for complete information. Angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Find out how Angioprim can work for you. Get the facts about Angioprim at angioprim.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Could a doctor's strike save your life? The answer is absolutely yes. All right, we have Dan in Washington. Hi, Dan.
Hey, doctor. Thanks for taking the call. Well, two kind of questions, but when they're talking about, I had a stent in my heart, mitochondrial infraction. So when they put the stent in and they break through the plaque, I'm just wondering, have you felt plaque? Like, is it hard, like the plaque on your teeth, or is it like a crystal, or is it soft, or, I mean, is it the same kind of plaque as on your teeth as in your face?
No, it's not the same. It's not that hard. Usually the plaque is kind of like either, I guess, rubber or styrofoam would be a better way of thinking of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how come they can't, because when they broke the plaque, it seems like they could have just left it there because you were not recommending stents, so I'm just wondering why they don't just break the plaque and leave it at that when they do that, you know?
Well, the whole thing is unnecessary, because if you have enough plaque to block your artery and you're still breathing, that means your body's already formed collateral circulation. And so any artery that's 95% blocked does not need surgery, because your body's already formed collaterals. But they know that by telling you it's 90% blocked or 95% blocked, that's going to scare you into getting a procedure done.
Yeah, I could definitely feel a difference once they put it in. All of a sudden, I was, like, instantly better. But it seems like they would have the technology just to be able to break that, maybe laser it or something, instead of putting a metal stent in there, you know, if they had to, or or give you some kind of substance to just dissolve that black, you know? I don't know.
Right, yeah, but they choose not to.
Yeah, and I guess that was my second question. I was going to get that book you recommend about cholesterol, the low cholesterol diet, and then, but then someone was telling me, and I've heard that too, that they changed now to where, you know, for a while they weren't recommending like egg yolks and stuff, and now they're saying it's not really the cholesterol, it's how your body, your liver produce, you know.
Right. However, they're still recommending cholesterol-lowering medications. And so it's kind of like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Like, oh, yeah, go ahead and lower your cholesterol, but eat eggs. Well, what do you mean? Should I double the dose of cholesterol-lowering medications and eat eggs? What's up? And so it's basically what they're trying to say is don't worry about it. Just take more drugs.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's a good point. Okay, yeah, anyway, thanks. Yeah, I'm going to get that book. I forgot I wrote the doctor's name down, the low cholesterol. Have you heard of anything with, like, because I chew these aspartame lozenges to quit smoking, and I don't know if I, that's probably, you know, there's probably a lot of stuff that contributed to it, stress.
Right.
It's just hard to really pinpoint, you know, what caused it to, the cholesterol to lump up in there, you know, like that. But
yeah, so it's more than just cholesterol. It's a lot of impurities. So any impurities or artificial chemicals that you're eating can lump up there in the arteries and cause a heart attack. So that's why there's no correlation between cholesterol level and heart attacks, because it could be anything. It can be the aspartame. It could be maybe another artificial sweetener. It could be food coloring, food preservatives.
I heard they put in a warning for, because I was taking that Advil PM a lot, like almost every night.
That's very bad.
Yeah. So, after I had the stent, I heard that warning on the radio, too. Like, oh, by the way, it's a major warning, too, with ibuprofen, I guess.
Well, it's the ibuprofen warning, and then there's the Benadryl warning, because the Advil PM has Benadryl in it, which causes Alzheimer's.
Benadryl,
so you're taking this every night, and then, you know, 10, 20 years from now, you know, you won't be able to remember your name or what you had for breakfast.
Wow, and that's Benadryl doing that, huh? They're saying?
Correct.
Because I take that now instead of the... Maybe I go to melatonin, I guess, huh? Is that the
possible. You could go to vitalitycapsules.com, click on discovery session, and we could, you know, kind of, it sounds like you need a review there of, you know, what you're doing so you can stop harming yourself.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for the show, and appreciate you answering the questions.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, bye-bye. All right. Okay, we have got tons of questions in the chat room, so we're going to do the best we can to get through them. Okay. is the word parasite used in sympathetic magic? Our goal to eliminate one, but do we in turn damage or eliminate another? Exactly. So all the parasites in your body are basically interdependent. So that's why an effort to kill this one or kill that one is often really misguided. And what you need to do is just allow your immune system to pick and choose what it's going to keep and what it's going to dump. And that's where the vitality capsules and turpentine come in. So definitely go to vitalitycapsules.com/candida, C-A-N-D-I-D-A, get your free report on how to get those parasites to leave in an orderly fashion. Okay. Okay. Dr. Daniels, you're ahead of your time. A new report from Reuters this month showed 12 newborn babies in a Virginia hospital died of a hospital-acquired infection. And the hospital staff inaccurately labeled the death certificate. as a cause of death something other than what it was, which was an antibiotic-resistant superbug. And they also failed to quarantine the children, putting all the hospital staff and other newborns at risk. They also stated that more than half of all states don't keep track of hospital-contracted deaths. Infection deaths, correct. It's not required. Not a reportable illness. What's crazy is that they're reporting this as if it's some new breaking story instead of something that's happening in all hospitals every day. And what's worse is that I really had to look for this story. It wasn't easy to find at all. You have to dig for it. Exactly. And so by reporting these stories as breaking news, it puts the false idea on people's minds that these things have not been going on for a long time. And when you figure that the infant mortality rate in the United States is 6 per 1,000, then killing 12 newborns in a pop, that would nearly double or triple the death rate for that particular hospital. And so since these newborn deaths were labeled deliberately as something other than what they were, then this gives women the false impression that having their babies in the hospital is somehow safe when there's really no evidence to that effect. So the misinformation is pretty subtle, but it's critical. And again, had these employees labeled the cause of death as a hospital-acquired infection, they would likely have lost their jobs. And when I worked in the hospital as a medical student, as a resident, whenever the cause of death was going to incriminate either the hospital or another doctor, there was generally a little powwow meeting on what should we label this. And an effort was made to label a death as something that would not incriminate anyone. And this happens quite a bit in hospital-related deaths because you don't want to incriminate the doctor who actually maybe killed the person. Why? Because then the next time he might not consult you, and then it's going to lower your income. So if you enter a case where a doctor was obviously where a doctor contributed to the death of the individual, then you're not going to fill out that death certificate to convey that doctor was in any way responsible for the killing. In fact, usually that doctor is allowed to complete the death certificate himself. And so to help people understand all this stuff, definitely see my webinar, which is the replay is up now, https://goo.gl/ENRZIE. Okay. Dr. Daniels, okay. Now, when our children are afraid of doctors, they know their instincts for real danger are uncorrupted. Not exactly. What happens is babies or children are being given needles by doctors every 3 months from birth. And so they're terrified of doctors. By the time someone is a child, which is no longer an infant, we'll call it age 1 year, they've already had at least 4 needles from the doctors. And so it's not that their instincts are uncorrupted, but they're actually trained to be afraid of doctors because every time they go to see a doctor, what do they get? They get a needle, the well child visit. And yes, adults are afraid too, but the adults hypnotize themselves, they lie to themselves, and they displace that fear from the doctor to what's wrong with them. Oh, I'm afraid of what might be wrong. I'm not going to go see a doctor because I'm afraid of what might be wrong. No, you're not. You're afraid of what a doctor might do to you. And that's okay. But once you acknowledge that fear, then you can use that fear to literally save your life by just not showing up. The medical heretic, which is Dr. Mendelsohn, he says, the first clue you must have is knowledge of the enemy. Well, first of all, is to even consider the medical industrial complex, every employee in it as an enemy. That's one big reach for many people. Once you understand that modern medicine is a religion, you can fight it and defend yourself much more effectively than when you think you're fighting an art or a science. No one can win the fight with the modern medical industrial complex. It is not possible. You simply have to not engage. And you also have to understand that the real enemy is not the doctor, not the nurse, not any part of the medical industrial complex, but the real enemy is the faith that you place in them. And once you withdraw that faith, then you're no longer a victim. It gives you your life back. You have so much more money, so much more time, so much more peace of mind. And I've developed a program to help people get just that by teaching them how to handle medical things at home themselves. And the best way to access that is through the webinar. So let me see if I can. Nope. I'll find that link in a minute. Okay. https://goo.gl/ENRZIE. So definitely check that out, and it'll give you some courage. Okay. Dr. Daniels, I think your receptionist was aspiring to be a priest class killer. What do you think? I don't think so. I think that, she was aspiring to make something of herself, to get certified, to get respect in the eyes of society, without focusing on, the real substance of things. And someone else said, you should have fired your receptionist on the spot. So, no, she had excellent clerical skills, and it was no problem for me to ignore her. And also, once I talked to her, she stopped repeating the stuff to me, so everything worked out really well. Okay. Dr. Daniels, that's an interesting story I never heard or considered. I don't think anyone ever thinks of Harvard students as starving for food during college. Yep, that's true. I just assumed that once you got into an Ivy League, it was kind of like the Olympics, where everything was taken care of, food, housing, and so on, with all the money that was spent. No, nothing is taken care of. Also, that was at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. I was hungry at Harvard, too. The last 2 years at Harvard, I ate every other day. So I started that habit at Harvard to make ends meet, of eating every other day. So I did that for 2 years at Harvard, all 4 years of medical school, and my first year of residency. First year of residency was a little stressful because you only got free food every third day when you were on call. So then I'd have to stretch it out to eating every third day. And it was hard to get into a rhythm because sometimes drug reps would bring food on the second day or the third day. And so I would eat like 2 days in a row and then nothing. And so it really was hard to maintain the discipline. But I was always tremendously underweight, about 35 pounds under. Yeah, I'd say 25, 30 pounds underweight at all times. And so literally, guys at Harvard would just stop me and say, excuse me, can I feed you? Can I buy you something to eat? And I say, no, I don't want sex. I just want to feed you. But I can see that, you need something to eat. And, I was very hungry because I was, I guess I was starving. Okay. I guess those Ivy Leaguers thought they were the top of the heap. The question turns out to be, of what heap? Exactly. And so many people, once they get into an Ivy League school and they realize how high all the bills are, and of course the only flexibility you have in your expenses is the food. That's one area of flexibility. The other flexibility is where you live, like living off campus. And aside from that, there's really no flexibility at all because the tuition is so high. Dr. Daniels, the situation for the drug reps sounds kind of like John Grisham's, the firm. Everything is taken care of once you find a way in and join this great law firm. Housing, food, transportation, laundry, license renewal, baby daycare. And then once you got used to it and are comfortable, and your family's comfortable. They then let you in on the truth of the scam, that you're actually representing the mafia, and there's no way out. Exactly. Only now what's happening is doctors' level of comfort that they're allowed to achieve before they the scam is revealed is a lot less, number one. And instead of the nice guy rewards is the harsh penalties of the interest and how am I going to pay this and how, you know, if I don't practice medicine. And of course, what they don't realize is they could do a lot better not practicing medicine.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, we only have 6 minutes left and so many questions. Okay, Dr. Daniels, learning and putting these new knowledge to work are two different things. I'm finally aware of the gate out, but still it's difficult to open it and escape. I think the thing to understand is the exit, the gate, so to speak, is always open. You don't have to open it. It's always open. All you have to do is walk through it. And again, my webinar, I give you some motivation and even some directions on how to walk through that gate. And that's at https://goo.gl/ENRZIE. Dr. Dennis, do you think an expectant woman should take extra iodine? No. Okay. The last time I showed up in a doctor's office years ago was to go in with someone else. My blood pressure was higher, or the blood pressure was higher than the patient's home testing. I mentioned to the doctor that there was a white coat syndrome, and the doctor was trying to act nonchalant. He was nervous due to my friendly, fearless, observant presence looking him in the eye. As soon as he saw me, he looked down and uttered a barely audible groan. So, yeah, we doctors are actually told to discourage people from bringing in, I guess you could say, supportive, whatever, anything that might help them not help them resist. Okay, so there's one big question here. Okay, so my daughter's 39 years old and is high-risk OBGYN care for C-section, scheduled sometime in mid-February, even though the doctor's not really sure of her dates. Okay, so there's a problem. So doctors doing C-sections create prematurity. That is the number one cause of prematurity. And prematurity is the number one cause of infant mortality. So there you have it. And so she said she didn't want any procedures performed that her insurance would not cover. So they made her sign a contract to that effect. How much trouble is she in? None at all. In fact, the fact that she's asked them to please limit her care to just what her insurance will pay for might save her life. It might mean that she actually won't get the C-section. So hopefully that's it. So they don't allow mothers to begin spontaneous labor because they don't do weekend surgery. Right, but she can decide to start spontaneous labor herself. So that really is her own choice. She can just not show up for her scheduled C-section. Okay, and one more question. Dr. Daniels, I think that you're not only saving money, but you're also saving not having to stress about talking to your healthcare insurer to see what they'll cover. And trust me, that wastes a lot of time and adds a lot of stress that you could be spending resting and recuperating. Absolutely, I agree. That's it. We're done for tonight. As always, think happens, and we'll see you next week.
Just standing there. I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then. Then once again.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.